welcome to Outbeat Collage Out in the Arts. I'm Michaela Kennan here in the KRCB studio with my co-hosts Gary Carnevale. Engineering tonight is Mary Moore Campagna, and we have an exciting show for you this evening. First, we'll chat with Rachel Gardner about Food for Thought's big benefit Calabash. That's coming up next week. And then after the half-hour break, we'll be joined by Tony Crabb and Barbara Grisecci, one of the sponsors of the Obama Victory Fund 2012 and the LGBT Leadership Council event this Thursday, Wells Fargo Center for the Arts. First up, here's Greg Moralia with the Outbeat Radio News and Calendar. Say
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, September 16th, 2012. Well, no doubt you've already heard in the world news about the film The Innocence of Muslims and its connection with the attacks in Cairo, Yemen, and Libya that left U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens and three other Americans dead. But what you may not have heard is that a gay porn star starred in this inflammatory film, and his name is Tim Dax. He's appeared in such titles as Slaughter Daughter and Folsom Undercover. He sent the following statement to gay blogger Joe My God after being identified by an eagle-eyed viewer of the film. He said, "I can tell you I auditioned for a movie called Desert Storm that was about ancient warriors. My character was called Samson on paper with a few lines I got each day upon arriving on set. We never saw a full script or any lines after the day we shot them. Many questions were asked regarding absurdity of lines and situations. Sam, the producer, who I believed him to be, but not certain, was an Egyptian. His reply was always to work with what we were given as he wrote the script. The clip that I saw part of today for the first time is questionable as to even being my voice. The voiceover work is dubious at best. A week and a half of work, $75 and lunch. I can't tell you any more. Other than, I am not anti-Muslim. One world, one love. Tim." Another unnamed actor echoed Dax's statement, saying that they didn't know what they were filming. And here locally, America's Promise Alliance announced the top 100 best communities for young people. The announcement included their top best places for LGBT youth, and Alameda, California made the list based on their bullying prevention initiatives that includes community workshops, school assemblies, films, and a speech contest, and other activities to teach youth how to combat bullying. In the last year, 6,000 young people participated and learned about acceptance and respect. And the Windsor Unified School District also made the top 100 list for the very first time and was honored for giving young people a voice in community development and for providing multiple opportunities for their educational and personal growth. Our congratulations to both cities. And finally, the San Francisco Lesbian and Gay Freedom Band performs The Band Comes Back. This is a concert featuring new arrangements of American music conducted by guest conductor Bradley Conlon. This 2012-13 community concert season features new Kevin Tom arrangements of John Philip Sousa's The Band Came Back and Ferd Grof's Valley of the Sun. There'll be two performances, the first on September 21st at 8 p.m. at the Ebenezer Lutheran Church at 678 Portola Drive in San Francisco, and on Sunday, September 23rd at 4 p.m. at the Terra Nova High School in Pacifica. Admission and parking at both events are free. You can learn more at their website, sflgbt.townalive.com. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Tuesday, September 18th at 6:30 p.m., the Transgender North Bay Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And also on Tuesday, new volunteer orientations will take place for Food for Thought, the Sonoma County AIDS Food Bank, at 7 p.m., 6550 Railroad Avenue in Forestville. And every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 4 p.m., face-to-face, the Sonoma County AIDS Network offers free, anonymous, and confidential HIV testing at their facility, 873 2nd Street in Santa Rosa. No appointment is needed. And on Thursday, September 20th, Wine Country for Obama, LGBT for Obama, and the Victory Fund will host a cocktail reception fundraiser for the re-election of President Obama for a second term. It'll begin at 6 p.m. at the Wells Fargo Center of the Arts on Mark West Springs Road in Santa Rosa. Tickets start at $50, and you can learn more at my.barackobama.com/September20. And also on Thursday at 6:30 p.m., the men's peer-to-peer HIV group will gather at face-to-face, 873 2nd Street. And on Friday, September 21st at 10:30 a.m., The Sonoma Valley Seniors Group will gather at the Vintage House Senior Center, 264 First Street East in Sonoma. And also on Friday at 7:30 p.m., the PFLAG Santa Rosa Support Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street. And finally, on Friday, the Napa Valley College production of The Laramie Project, 10 years later, opens at 8 p.m. Tickets are still available for purchase online at napavalleytheater.org. If you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatradio.com. Just click on Outbeat News. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Outbeat Collage with Gary Carnevale and Michaela Kennan.
Welcome back. I'm Gary Carnevale, your co-host tonight. Rachel Garner is the Deputy Executive Director and Client Services Manager at Food for Thought, Sonoma County AIDS Food Bank. The nonprofit was formed in 1988 to meet the nutritional needs of all those infected with HIV/AIDS in Sonoma County. Welcome back, Rachel.
Thanks, Gary. It's nice to be here with you.
Good. And Rachel, it is good to have you here. For those in our listening audience who may not be familiar with Food for Thought, tell us a little about the organization and the services that Food for Thought provides.
Well, as Gary said, Food for Thought has been around since the very early days of the AIDS epidemic in Sonoma County. Sonoma County was hit particularly hard by the epidemic, and we have been providing comprehensive nutrition services for people living with HIV and AIDS. That includes weekly groceries, vitamins, nutritional supplements, nutritional counseling, cooking classes, workshops. We also have various social events and volunteer opportunities for people living with HIV. And anybody who has an HIV diagnosis and is a resident of the county is eligible for our services. It's very easy to become a client there if you're eligible. We try to be very non-bureaucratic and welcoming. And all of our services are free of charge, and we deliver to about a third of our clients who are homebound or unable to come into the food bank for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm. How many clients are you serving at this present time?
Right now we have about 650 clients. That includes the dependent children of clients. So these are children who are not HIV positive but are living in the households of our clients. Mm.
Food for Thought has an army of volunteers. How many volunteers would you say you have?
Close to 600 who help us out over the course of a year. And really, we started as a very grassroots agency and remain so. There's only a few of us on paid staff, and we served, I think about over 15,000 grocery orders last year. So volunteers do just about everything that needs to be done at the food bank. They take the grocery orders for clients, both over the phone and for clients who walk in the door. We have volunteers working as receptionists in the food bank, doing data entry, doing all of our deliveries, doing special events for us, working at our antique store, pretty much everything that needs to be done. So some volunteers work, once a week for a half a day or a day, and others may just do something once a month or once a year, but we absolutely depend on volunteers to do the work.
I would imagine there's always a need for more volunteers.
There's always a need for more volunteers. We have a steady crew of volunteers. Some have been there with us for over 20 years. Some people come and go, but we're always looking for new volunteers. And like I said, there's a range of opportunities depending upon what people like to do, if they want to have contact with people or they really want to be more behind the scenes, and for pretty much any ability. We're also really pleased that a lot of our clients actually also volunteer at the food bank. I think that makes a lot of clients feel more comfortable receiving services, because it really isn't, in our culture, easy to ask for help or to receive help. But it also is a way for people to just connect with other people in the community. We're really pleased about that.
Do you find that, is there a stigma, as it once was, connected with being HIV, or...?
The stigma that there is now around HIV is not nearly as debilitating as it was in the very early days, but there absolutely still is a stigma around HIV. And I think that for us is what really justifies continuing to be an agency that serves just people with HIV, because for a lot of people, they're still afraid of losing their jobs, of losing their families, of losing their homes, their friends, if anybody knows that they're positive. For some of our clients, the only place that they're open about their HIV is at their doctor's office or at the food bank. So, I think one of the reasons that it there is still so much stigmas that it's stigma that's laid upon other stigmas, that people are already stigmatized, for example, for being gay. And when you come out as somebody who's HIV positive, for a lot of people, you're either coming out as gay or somebody who uses IV drugs. And or if not, that there's the intimation that that's, you know, people are afraid that that's what people will think. And it really keeps people from letting people know and getting the kinds of services and care and support that they need. I think as long as there is still the stigma and hatred and fear around homosexuality, that unfortunately won't change.
Do you track how people come to you through, do they come to Food for Thought through other service providers?
In a variety of ways. Most of our referrals come from medical providers who are caring for people with HIV. But there are a lot of people come to us who are new to the county, haven't even signed up for medical services yet, but have friends who live in the county or have found us on the internet. We're their first stop, and then I would be the one that after doing an intake with a new client would then refer them to their medical care or to face-to-face or for other services.
So talk a bit about that intake. That's I think, an interesting subject matter. Mm-hmm. How do you assess their needs?
Well, I assume that if somebody's walking in the door of the food bank that they have a need. Most people would rather go to Safeway or Whole Foods or someplace else. And there's also a lot of stigma around coming into a food bank. There's stigma around needing help and not being able to support yourself. And so a lot of people have a lot of dread about coming to a food bank. It's one of the reasons that, for example, we have the beautiful garden and landscape that we do around the building, and it's we want people, even before they walk in the door, to know that this is a welcoming place, this is a beautiful place. It's not the horrible image that they had when they thought they were coming to a food bank. And I see my job as the client services manager to put people at ease, to take whatever shame that they may have walked in the door with away, to let them know that we're here to help, that we will treat them like adults and with respect. We don't ask a lot of personal questions. We don't put people through the ringer and put up barriers to getting, you know, to getting some assistance from us. So that, you know, we get the basic information that we need to as an agency to make sure that people are who they say they are and all of that. But I'd say it's a process that if I can get somebody to be smiling and looking forward to walking into the lobby after they've left my office, I consider that a good intake. And then, of course, after they sit at the counter, meet our volunteers, hear the laughter in the lobby and the wackiness out there and how comfortable it is. And they also can, you know that the person taking their grocery order is also somebody living with HIV, because some of our volunteers will disclose that there's almost immediately a sense of community and comfort there, not a sense of us and them.
Excellent. Good. So you've got the huge Calabash benefit coming up.
Yes.
Right? A celebration of Gourds, Art, and the Garden happening in early October, October 7th. So talk about that event, because it's one of the highlights of our Sonoma County Fall Activities.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, this is our 12th year, and we're really proud of the event. It's our second largest fundraiser after Dining Out for Life, which we'll talk about a little later, I think. So Calabash is especially wonderful for us because it's an event that takes place on site at the food bank. That gives people who are coming to the event an opportunity to see the site, to see the garden, to tour the food bank, and really get a sense of the work that we do. We've gotten, not only do we have we raised a lot of money through the event, but we've gotten a lot of volunteers and good community support. It's also a really wonderful event because it brings together art and healing and community. The generosity of the community that comes together is just tremendous. We have over 80 artists who participate. They, out of the goodness of their hearts, donate beautiful artwork that we do a silent auction. We have many caterers and restaurants and wineries, businesses all throughout the county who are donating things for us to serve, to raffle, to pour. We have musicians who are playing gourd instruments, entertaining people during the event, And we always have somebody speak at the event, sometimes a client, somebody else, or somebody else from the community who can really speak in a heartfelt way about the work that we do. So it's a great kind of public relations for us to get so many people who, some of whom have are coming because they love art, they love the garden, they love gourds. Some come, they don't even know about the food bank, but it's a chance for us. Mm-hmm. To let them know who we are and the work that we do. And some of them, you know, of the guests turn out that they know somebody who's positive and they didn't know about the food bank. So in addition to that, it raises over $50,000 a year that goes directly to buying groceries for our clients.
And talk just a little bit about the gardens, flower gardens, landscapes.
Everything. We it's an all-organic garden. It surrounds the building, edible landscape. Fruit trees, vegetables, annuals and perennials, flowers, herbs, a beautiful environment for clients to just spend time in, to harvest food in, to garden, which is a wonderful activity, just to be in nature. We also, this last year, just opened an AIDS memorial in the garden. And I mm-hmm. think it's probably, I think there may be one other AIDS memorial in the county, but this is a memorial that's open to anybody in the community. It has a sculptural empty chair that represents people who have been lost to AIDS. It's meant to evoke kind of the individual loss that people have experienced, but also the enormity of the collective loss that our community has experienced. And so it's a lovely place to visit. There's a seating area. There's an opportunity for anybody who wishes to engrave a name on a little copper leaf and hang that from an arbor, to do a memorial there, to gather, or just to sit and reflect. Nice little water feature.
Yeah, that's touching.
Yeah, that's a really nice feature. And we've done the garden there. You know, Doug Gosling, who also has a show on KRCB on Tuesday nights, an African music show. He's the head gardener at the food bank as well as Occidental Arts and Ecology Center. He and I did a garden at Henry House for 6 years or so. And then when Food for Thought moved to their new site in the late 90s, they asked us to come and do a garden there. And so we've been doing that, and Calabash started as an event to raise money for the garden so we wouldn't be taking any money that was supposed to be going for food. And it became a very big event that now brings in a lot of money for the food bank.
It's an incredible event, and if you haven't been, I urge you to go. There's, of course, a very serious aspect to it, but it's a party. There's wonderful food. There's wonderful company. The Russian River Sisters are there. I mean, it's hard to imagine walking away and not winning something, so it's an excellent raffle.
It's festive, myself. And some people come just because it is a great harvest time event, and yes, the sisters are there selling raffle tickets. And
being sisters.
It's a great day, and being the sisters.
So it's certainly worth the drive to Forestville for those of us in other parts of the county. How can people get tickets?
You can get tickets either by coming into the food bank in lovely downtown Forestville, 6550 Railroad Avenue. You can call the food bank and pay over the phone. The phone number there is 707-887-1640. And perhaps the easiest way is to do it on our website, which is www.fftfoodbank, all one word, fftfoodbank.org. You can buy tickets right there and get information about other events and our services, how to become a volunteer, everything that's going on.
It's a great website. And
thank you.
Even if you're just interested in volunteering, if you need services, get on that email list so you know what's happening at Food for Thought.
Yes,
it's a treasure. So we'll talk about another one of those events. You've got a busy 3 months coming up. On September 30th, Food for Thought is hosting Under the Harvest Moon, a wine estate dinner that will benefit the AIDS Nutrient Bank, which is part of the Foods Bank. Tell us all about that fundraiser.
Sure. Well, the AIDS Nutrient Bank briefly is a project of the food bank, and it distributes really high-quality vitamins and nutritional supplements that are particularly of use to people with compromised immune systems and some of the other medical conditions that people with HIV are living with now. This event is at the Kelly and Young Winery Estate in the beautiful Alexander Valley between Healdsburg and Geyserville. And Chef John Lyle of Hardcore Farm to Face, who you may know from Chosen Spot pop-up dinners, is going to be preparing the menu. It's a five-course dinner made exclusively from local ingredients, meats, and produce that he's featuring particular farmers that night. Wine from Kelly and Young Winery will be poured with every course. It starts with a little wine reception with hors d'oeuvres and then the five-course dinner. It's $100 per person. Seating's limited to 50. And, of course, we're hoping to sell out to raise money for the AIDS and Nutrient Bank. You could also get tickets in the same way at our website, fftfoodbank.org, or by calling the food bank.
And if that's not enough, you've got another event coming up in November, the Dining Out for Life.
Yes, and Dining Out for Life is our largest fundraiser of the year, so it's a really important one for us. This year it's on Thursday, November 29th, and it is at restaurants throughout Sonoma County. Mostly lunch and dinner, but also some restaurants have breakfast. In 2011, we raised $130,000 for the food bank, which was really, really helpful. Last year, over 80 restaurants participated. We're hoping for at least that many, if not more, this year. And a great volunteer opportunity is actually being an ambassador at Dining Out for Life. Half of the money that we get from Dining Out for Life comes from the restaurants who generously donate 10 or 20 or sometimes 50% of their income for the night directly to us. Some even include wine and other beverages, which is amazing. But the ambassadors actually represent the food bank, and they go to the tables and they let people know that it's Dining Out for Life and ask for extra contributions. And we get about half of the income from the event through the ambassadors. So we're looking for ambassadors, and we're still signing up restaurants. So,
And how do people find out which restaurants are participating?
That will be on our website probably within a couple of weeks. There's also a Dining Out for Life website, which I believe is diningoutforlife.com. I may have that wrong. So your best bet is, again, to look at the Food for Thought website, and we'll have all the information about which restaurants are participating, which of the meals they're doing, who's doing 50%, and who's contributing the money from the wine as well as the food.
There's no excuse. There's got to be a restaurant, at least one restaurant in your town.
Everybody needs to eat out on that night, November 29th.
Which is a Thursday night.
It is, and it's a great night. It's a night that not all restaurants are super busy, so we really help fill the restaurants. It's a great thing for the restaurants as well, great thing for the people who work in the restaurants, and it's a great way to, to help the food bank just by eating out, because a percentage of what you spend is coming to the food bank. All you have to do is eat out.
Probably a nice break from the turkey dinner from before, isn't it?
Yes.
Right. Get into the holiday spirit by going to a restaurant. And you also conduct, Food for Thought also conducts weekly food drives.
Yes, that's actually become a really big program for us, a really important one. We have volunteers in front of grocery stores all throughout Sonoma County, as we call it, begging for food. They are great volunteers. They hand out flyers to shoppers as they're going into the store, letting them know what we need that week. And a lot of the stores have 2-for-1 deals on Saturdays, and so shoppers go in and they get a box of cereal for themselves. They buy an extra box of cereal for us. We brought in last year, amazingly, about $130,000 in groceries, which is a tremendous amount, and another over $50,000 in cash. Mm. So we really depend on this. It's one of the reasons the success of the food drive program is one of the reasons that we have been able to go through this economic downturn, the rise in food prices, the rise in gas prices, and the rise in the number of clients we serve without having to make any cuts or create a waiting list. So it's a really important program for us. So you can also find out either in our newsletter or, again, on our website, what stores are holding the websites. They're on Saturdays all day, different stores throughout the county. They're actually, I believe, 2 or 3 Saturdays a month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's another great way to support us.
And thank you, Sonoma County, for stepping up and helping out.
Absolutely. Again, the support throughout the county, the volunteers, the stores that allow us to come and stand outside their doors on a regular basis, it's great.
Yeah.
Nice. Give a shout out to some of those stores.
Well, participating markets are throughout the county. We have Fircrest Market in Sebastopol, some of the Lucky's Markets. Oliver's are tremendous supporters of ours, both in Rincon Valley and Cotati. Pacific Market, Petaluma Market, several of the Safeways, Guerneville, Sebastopol, Santa Rosa, Sonoma Market. We actually have a lot of clients out in the east of the county, in Sonoma, in that area. And Petaluma Market and Raley's in Windsor. I don't think I've left G&G in Santa Rosa. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, they're great. They're good. And there's always a list of the kinds of foods that are the best donated foods. You know.
Exactly. There are certain standards that we have found are better for us to get. There are things, some of the staple items like peanut butter, cans of tuna, cereal, chili, spaghetti sauce, things like that
sure.
Are expensive for us to buy, but for somebody going to a store to buy one extra can or jar is really doable.
So let's talk about the antique store.
Sure.
That's good. This is something, it's a great shop. It's located in Sebastopol. How did that come about?
Well, a man named Randall Thompson owned the business. It's we have our own antiques and collectibles and also consignments from other dealers. He passed away several years ago and left us the store. We were not in that business, but in the food bank business, but we decided to give it a chance. We hired a man named Alan Chivins, who has done a tremendous job making the store just, it's filled with fabulous things, antiques, collectibles, garden art, housewares. It's really interestingly put together. Mark Brudzinski, who, by the way, is also the man who designed our AIDS memorial, does the design mm-hmm. at the store. And so it's whimsical. There's things that are practical. There's really something for everybody there. And all of the money that the store makes comes to the food bank. And I think that last year it brought in almost 17% of our budget, which was over $230,000.
Wow.
So it's, again, a great way to support the food bank by shopping there, by donating things that we can sell there. And we're also doing estate sales now, which we think is something that can be really lucrative for us, because we're always, of course, needing to bring in more money. This is our third year now of not having any government money. Mm-hmm. We used to get a lot of Ryan White money, and now we have no Ryan White money at all. So we're completely dependent on bringing in money to support our services, which is why we're spending more time tonight talking about our events and ways to support us than anything else. But it's a great... we think that estate sales should really take off for us, because we have a great professional team who knows a lot about antiques and collectibles. Any of the unsold items from an estate sale go back to the store and can continue to be sold. And every dollar that is made goes to a good cause. It's not just going into somebody's pocket. So we're really hoping that will pick up. Hmm. But in the meantime, just shopping at FFT Antiques. It's in South Sebastopol at 2701 Gravenstein Highway South. And I can give out the phone number if that's helpful.
Sure.
It's 823-3101. It's open every day until, I should know this, I think it's from 11 to 6 or 11 to 5. But give a call or stop by. It's on your way in or out of town. It's a great place to shop.
And they have an amazing book collection.
Yes.
Especially rare and vintage LGBT books, because I suspect a lot of people are mm-hmm. donating those books. And it's amazing to check out that section mm-hmm. and see some of those old titles that
yeah.
you think were long gone. We've just got a few minutes left. Tell us a bit about your experience at Food for Thought and what it has meant to you.
Sure. I started at Food for Thought just doing the garden there. for several years with Doug, and that was a really wonderful experience for me too. I was really interested in the therapeutic aspects of gardening. I went back to school and I got a degree in clinical psychology and became more and more interested in the client services part. So my job really moved into that direction. Client services became so busy there that I spent less and less time in the garden. But it's been really meaningful work to me. It's a great agency. The feeling of community is tremendous. There's hard things about working there because people are in need. There's a fair bit of suffering that we come across on a daily basis, a lot of loss, and being a place that people come to for consolation. At the same time, the generosity of people, of the volunteers and the clients, makes it all kind of balance out. You have a sense of just a little microcosm of life, probably the more intense aspects of life, but it's a wonderful place to work. It feels I look forward to going to work every day, and I feel I'm really lucky for that.
We appreciate the work you do.
Absolutely. Give us, just as we wind down now, give us one more time the website and how people can find out about Calabash.
Sure. So Calabash, again, is on Sunday, October 7th from 1 to 5 p.m. It's at the Food Bank in downtown Forestville, 6550 Railroad Avenue. The phone number at the Food Bank to buy tickets is 887-1647. And our website, where you can get tickets for Calabash or find out about all of our services and all of our other events, is fftfoodbank.org.
Excellent. Thank you so much for bringing just a wealth of information tonight about Food for Thought and the wonderful service it does provide, and for the work that you do also.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure, and I really so appreciate the support of Outbeat, and also KRCB has just been a tremendous supporter of the Food Bank for years and years, and we're grateful for that.
You're welcome, and you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
We have a very special offer for Outbeat Radio listeners. Napa Valley Conservatory Theater is staging the new play, The Laramie Project, 10 years later, September 21st through October 7th at Napa Valley College. The play revisits the town where Matthew Shepard was murdered a decade after that event shocked the world. While we're listening to this great track from Joe Jackson's new CD, The Duke, be the first caller at 584-2020, and you'll win two tickets to next Saturday's performance.
Swing, 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 swing,
da da da,
da da
da, da da da,
what good is melody? What good is music if it ain't possessing something sweet?
Absolutely.
It ain't the melody, it ain't the music. There's something else that makes the tune complete.
I'm gonna start this beat again.
All right.
Nah, that's nice. Now, all I have to add is this. And we be jamming.
Yeah.
Like this.
good is melody? What good is music if it ain't possessing something sweet? It ain't the melody, it ain't the music, it's something else that makes the tune complete. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. It don't mean a thing, all you got to do is sing. It makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Just got to give that rhythm all you got. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. If it's sweet or hot, you just got to give that rhythm all you got. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. It don't mean a thing, all you got to do is sing.
It must be what it is.
And you're listening to Outbeat Collage, Out in the Arts. This is KRCB-FM, Windsor Santa Rosa. We want to remind you that our fall pledge drive is beginning tomorrow here on KRCB. There are a number of very special thank you gifts, including a walking tour guided for four through the Castro District, which can be yours simply by calling 800-882-6427 or going to the website and clicking on www.krcb.org/donate. This and many other thank you gifts are available for pledging your support to KRCB. And now we continue with Outbeat Collage.
And welcome back to Outbeat Collage, Out in the Arts. I'm Michaela Kennan here in the KRCB studios with Gary Carnevale, Mary Moore Campagna, and you heard Joe Jackson's version of Duke Ellington's It Don't Mean a Thing If It Ain't Got That Swing, that from Joe's new disc called The Duke.
Our next guests, Barbara Grisecci and Tony Crabb, own Puma Springs Vineyard in Healdsburg. They're also one of the sponsors of the Obama Victory Fund 2012 and LGBT Leadership Council fundraising event that's happening this Thursday at the Wells Fargo Center for the Arts. Welcome to Outbeat Collage, Barbara and Tony.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Let's begin our conversation by your telling us all about Thursday's cocktail reception fundraiser for the re-election of President Obama.
Well, it's going to be this Thursday, so that's September 20th. It's from 6 to 8, and it's basically a cocktail reception. We've got some great speakers lined up. We've got Governor Chris Gregoire from Washington State coming. She's going to be the headliner. We've got Kathy Levinson, who's a Bay Area native, and she's the co-chair of the LGBT Leadership Council. We have Jamie Citron, who's the National LGBT Vote Director and based in Chicago. And then we have Tammy Pastor, who's the Director of the Women's Leadership Forum. So it's going to be basically the Women's Leadership Forum and the LGBT Leadership Council that are hosting the event.
Very good. Is there anyone else, then, of interest who will be in attendance? Local?
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of our local electeds. We've got sponsors in Jared Huffman, who is running, obviously, for Congress in our district. We also have Mike McGuire, Efren Carrillo, another county supervisor, Shirley Zane, who's also supporting the event. And who am I forgetting? There's a long list of electeds, aren't there?
Deb Fudge
from Windsor. Jill Ravitch, who's our district attorney, is going to be there as well. So we're actually very excited because the support has been really wide and enthusiastic. We're expecting really a standing room only crowd from what we've been seeing so far. So we're extremely excited about the event on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. But tickets are still available.
Still available. I mean, they're selling fast, but they're still available.
Get in there. Get on the web. Reserve your ticket.
How do you go about getting tickets?
Well, let's see. If you're on Facebook, it's fairly easy. If you look up and do a search on Wine Country for Obama, the event will come up, and there's a link there the way you can RSVP and donate. If you don't have that and you Google on mybarackobama.com, September 20th, LGBT reception, it will come up.
And believe me, that's easier than the actual link, although it's hard to believe.
Those links do get very long, don't they?
They do.
Oh, my
gosh.
Yes. So very good.
Yeah. Great. Well, the event will focus on the stark differences between President Obama and his Republican opponent, Mitt Romney, especially those concerning LGBT issues and issues affecting all women. What should the members of the LGBT community know about both candidates' records in these areas?
Oh, there's a lot. The first thing I would say is that it's not just a comparison of someone who's good with someone who might be a little bit better that you might not agree with. This is the comparison of night and day. You've got the Obama administration who's advocating for gay marriage, who has repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, who has said they're not going to enforce the Defense of Marriage Act. And then you've got Mitt Romney, who wants to reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So it's basically going back to the dark ages. And for women, you know, our reproductive rights are basically completely at risk. And so it's not, again, a matter of nuance. It's clear what direction the Romney-Ryan administration would go. And frankly, for all of us women, for all of us who have daughters, grandchildren, sisters. I don't think we really want rape to be redefined, and I don't think we want somebody else deciding on our family size and our family planning. So it's a stark contrast.
Yeah, and I mean, currently we're having a conversation again about contraception, and you know, I mean, there are
who would think in
2012. That, you know, we'd be doing that. And to say that some forms of contraception should be outlawed is just outrageous.
It is astounding.
Yeah.
It is astounding. And, you know, on the LGBT side, the discriminatory views of the Romney-Ryan administration, again, I feel like that's going back to the dark ages. I mean, as a country and as a society, haven't we realized that it's about inclusion, it's about embracing our differences and becoming a stronger unit? We were lucky to be in Charlotte at the Democratic Convention, and that was the message over and over. I really didn't hear that coming from the other side. So,
And that you're kind of answering this question, but where did your own personal impetus to become involved on this level begin?
Well, I'll talk for myself, and Barbara can chime in. As you can probably tell from my accent, I'm not from here. So during the Bush years, I got so frustrated with the direction the country was going. And with Barbara's prodding, I became a citizen so that I could vote in 2008 and voted for Obama. And that was when we started to get involved in national politics. We've been involved in local politics for a long time, but that was really our first impetus into national politics at that level. And in the last 4 years, we've got more and more involved.
Yeah, and for myself, I'm a child of the 60s, and for me, this is all, especially in the LGBT side, it's all civil rights. And, you know, when I was a little kid watching marching and watching for women's equality, and I saw all that happen, I thought, wow, this is going to be so great, because when I get to be an adult, all that's going to be solved. And guess what, folks? We're still fighting for it. And I think that was really the wake-up call for me.
Sure.
So talk about being at the convention. I mean, there were some incredible speeches. I mean, I'm anxious to hear what it was like being in that hall, listening to those people.
Oh, man.
It was electric. I mean, it really was.
There were some amazing speakers. I mean, let's face it, Bill Clinton, you know, he could take an entire stadium and you basically feel like you're just sitting down on his living room couch, you know, and he's chatting. Yeah. So he was amazing. Michelle Obama was fantastic. I cried at the president's speech. I mean, talking about citizenship, I mean, I guess it goes back to that 60s roots of mine. But there were a lot of great speakers. So it was a very exciting event.
Yeah, I think the two things that struck me, sort of overall impressions, were, you know, if you looked around the hall, it was a melange of everyone. All colors, all creeds. We were sitting right behind some Sikhs in, you know, bright orange turbans. It was a little bit of everything there. And virtually, so that was one. It was just, if you compare that with the Republican convention, where it was basically, you know, one demographic. And then if you listen to all the speeches, virtually everyone who got up and talked said something about inclusion, LGBT inclusion. And it wasn't just they said it. Everyone got a standing ovation. The hall went wild. The support across the board for any mention of LGBT rights and, you know, inclusion was just overwhelming. So those sort of two themes came out to me really strongly.
Yeah. It was pretty universal. Mm-hmm. And they made a joke at one point about all the coalitions in the Democratic Party. Like, there's the short people, the tall people, the in-between people. And I thought, you know, they were kind of making fun of the Republicans, making fun of us. And I thought, you know, that's what I love about it, is that, you know, we probably do have a short people for Obama coalition. Hey, we have a Bark for Barack group, you know. We may as well have a short people.
Why not?
And what struck me is that the Democrats really stood up to the plate. I mean, you know, Governor Duvall spoke about needing to grow a backbone, which I've sort of been screaming about for 4 years.
Yeah.
But they didn't shy away from a single issue. They weren't playing it safe, and which you sort of saw on the Republican side. They challenged the Republicans, saying, here's the stark contrast. This is what we stand for in their platform, LGBT equality rights, marriage rights for same-sex couples, and especially women's issues. So it was really nice to see that.
Yeah, I agree. It was very much everyone walking around very proud to be labeled a liberal, and for a long time people would shy away from that label. But if liberal means that we believe in inclusion, then we believe in rights for everyone, you know, we want women to be able to control their own destiny with their families, to me, hey, call me liberal. I'm okay with that.
That dratted L word.
The other L word.
only the people on that other side can say liberal with such venom. a tone, with such venom that it really does take on a different meaning, or it seems to.
Yeah.
Talk about the importance as you see it, because you're both involved in politics, and, you know, you've obviously convinced Tony that he needs to become involved as well. Why is it important for all of us as Americans to be part of the process?
I think if you're not involved, you don't have a right to complain. That's basically my short answer. And if you want to make change, sitting around moaning about it doesn't help. You have to get involved, and you have to get active. And I think that's the bottom line. That's what we found.
And I would say that from my perspective, especially on the LGBT front, early on in the president's administration, I was extremely disappointed by the pace of change. And the fact that we've been involved and engaged gave us a voice to be able to call someone in the administration or call someone in Chicago. We had people calling us and saying, you need to call your people because this is what I'm hearing. And we did. And I think that the president's speech actually said it really well. We all have to get together. We all have to use our voices, particularly now with the money that's going into the unregulated side of these super PACs. There are like 10 or 12 very extremely wealthy men who are going to be putting more money into this presidential election than either side individually. That's a lot of money that we have to combat with thousands of voices. And so for every $1 million or $10 million they can just throw into ad buys, we all need to be out there really active, really saying what we mean. When we get in front of people, whether it's your county supervisor to, if you're lucky enough, the president of the United States, you need to be able to say what it is that that you want to see in the country, what things they're doing that you like, what things that you don't. And if you get involved and you're active, you do get that voice. And I think sometimes people get disillusioned because of the money. But I can tell you, as just John Q. Public, actually, I guess I'm Jane Q. Public, right? if you're there and you're at the party and you're in front of people, your voice will be heard. So yeah. I would encourage everyone to get out and get in front of people.
And I would add to that, most politicians are more than happy to talk to you. And most people don't understand that. They want to hear from the mm-hmm. public. And, I think President Obama has said it many times, make me do the right thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the way to do that is to make your voices heard mm-hmm. Collectively.
Right, which goes back to the women's movement, which goes back to the LGBT movement, those mm-hmm. early days when people were risking so much. Mm-hmm. Going back to ACT UP, speaking about AIDS, when, we had a president who would even utter the word.
Yeah.
Yes, and there's no greater joy in sort of volunteering for a political campaign. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it can be just $5 a check or, as much as you can afford, but also time, phone banks right. to reach out to people in those swing states and mm-hmm. let them know what's going on. Because we've seen in this political campaign with all of these dollars, we'll try to be objective and not but there's a lot of misinformation out there.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
And people are just unaware of the facts and are unaware of how their rights are being attacked and could possibly be taken away if you're a woman, if you're mm-hmm. LGBT,
right. mm-hmm.
or if you're a small business owner or, mm-hmm. across the board, the middle class,
right.
poor, a person who's dealing with HIV/AIDS. Talk about how people can get involved in other ways.
Yeah. Well, you made a really good point about reaching out and people getting engaged because, not everyone can write a check, but maybe you have a couple hours that you could phone bank. The Obama for America group has its field office with the Sonoma County Democratic Party. It's in downtown Santa Rosa. And they do lots of great things there, phone banking, they organize things. That would be a great central resource to go. And I would just encourage, because one of the key things is that we need people from every background out there calling. Because in the battleground states, for example, in Nevada, there's a very large Latino population. So we need Hispanic and Latino from Sonoma County calling into Nevada. We need women calling into different places. We need LGBT calling into different places because we need to make sure that we get people out to vote. Democrats win when people go to the polls. When people don't show up to vote or when restrictive laws are passed, that's when Democrats don't win. So it's really important that we get people excited and mobilized and people with common interests talking to people with other common interests in some of those countries, let's try states that are being barraged with these ads. You know, we live in a little bubble because we're not a swing state, and mm-hmm. Sonoma County is a great inclusionary county. It's a wonderful place to live. We're kind of in our bubble thinking, how could anyone not want to vote for the president here? Well, there's like bazillions of dollars going into ad buys in Nevada and Florida and other swing states. And that's where we need people from here to either go there or call and make those, you know, make it happen, make people excited, get them out there and voting. So,
and it almost goes back to that 60s grassroots level where it's mm-hmm. consciousness raising and education of the common person.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's so much going on in our, you know, everyone's so busy. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs their, you know, 5 minutes to say, yeah, I got to make this a priority. So,
right. And you can make those calls from home.
Absolutely.
Yes. You can sign up online and get those phone numbers and do that from home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
and
just,
you know, a little pitch for the event that's coming up on Thursday. You know, the Sonoma County Democratic Club is one of the sponsors, and they are going to have a table along with Obama for America at the event to sign up volunteers, and mainly phone banking. So mm-hmm. it's not just money. I mean, we're getting, you know, a decent amount of money, but it's time. We need to get people involved. At just a few hours here and there, it can make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Is there a phone number or a website that people can go to if they want to get involved?
Yeah, Obama for America is a great place because you can put in where you're at and it'll just target you right to where you need to go.
Good.
So Obama for America.
Yep.
We'll switch gears a bit and let you talk about Puma Springs Vineyard, which you purchased in 2000. Tell us about your career change and your wonderful winery.
Well, it's not a winery. It's just a vineyard. So we just grow grapes.
Growers.
Yeah,
farmers.
We're growers. We're farmers. But, you know, we're both Silicon Valley refugees, I guess. We were both in high tech and worked at Cisco and a lot of startups. And then we came up here and bought... what is Puma Springs, and have been working that as a farm for the last 12 years now.
Yeah, it's quite a transition, high tech to no tech, but it's been great.
Yeah,
we're really happy.
Good. What grapes do you grow?
Cabernet Sauvignon, Petit Verdot, Merlot, and Cabernet Franc.
Oh, yeah.
So all of the
Bordeaux.
Not quite all of the Bordeaux, but most
varietals.
Of them. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, just want to, again, thank you for all the work you're doing and the energy that you're putting in for this great Obama cause, because...
it's an important election.
It's an important one.
It's a very important
election.
Well, thank
you for having us.
Thank
you.
We appreciate having the time.
I hope we get to see everyone out in Radioland, and I'm sure we'll see you guys on Thursday.
Absolutely.
Yes, you betcha.
Okay,
wonderful.
Super. Thanks.
Thank you. Just want to, again, thank you for being with us, Barbara and Tony. We also want to thank Rachel Gardner from Food for Thought for joining us tonight. Mary Moore Campagna, of course, for engineering. Next week on Outbeat Radio, hosts Jeff Basham and Greg Moralia will be here with Outbeat Now. We'll be back next month, Sunday, October 20th. I'll chat with my co-host, Gary Carnevale. We're going to turn the tables a little bit, put him in the speaker seat, talk about his new documentary called Tipping the Scales, the Michelle Rocking Horse Garcia story. And just another little pitch, just before that, the Outbeat music, I'll be actually interviewing and having Michelle on my show. We'll talk all about her work as an actress and singer and everything that's gone on in her making of this documentary with Gary. So that'll be exciting. That's going to premiere at the LGBT Center in San Fran on November 3rd. And beyond that, just want to invite you to listen to Outbeat Radio every Sunday evening, 8 p.m. here on KRCB Public Radio. You can also listen to previous Outbeat shows in the archives at www.outbeatradio.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.